Welcome to podcast 8 in the 8-part podcast series on international arbitration. This is the last of the series, and the topic is developing an international arbitration practice. The podcast is with Bob Davidson, the JAMS head of the international arbitration practice.
Developing an international practice is something that many of us would, in fact, like to do. I've been lucky enough to develop a fairly robust one. And just as an anecdote, I was a partner at Baker & McKenzie. I was there for 30 years in New York. We did a lot of the cases against the Iranian government when the Shah was thrown out of Iran in 1979. And we developed a pretty good reputation for dealing with international arbitration. So when I joined JAMS, I had done this work mostly as counsel, as a steady diet. And so I was a known quantity, let's say, when I entered JAMS. That gave me, of course, a head start that many of you will not have. Although many of you, as former judges, will have had lawyers appearing before you in firms that do a lot of international work and may well have tried international cases as well. So we should keep our eye on the ball here. The vast majority of international arbitration rules in connection with arbitrator selection provide for party-appointed arbitrators who then together select a chair. That means that your work is not going to come from the ICC. Everyone at the ICC in Paris can love you. So when you go to the ICC and you visit the offices and you get all these hugs and handshakes and high fives, I hope you had a good visit, but it's not going to translate into business. What's going to translate into business for you is when lawyers with international cases call you and appoint you as their party-appointed arbitrator and or the two so selected appoint you as the chair. That means that you have to promote yourself to the lawyers who are going to appoint you. How do you do that? You do that through the bar associations those lawyers frequent. Someone told me that the ABA's litigation section, for example, is a wonderful place to do that because there you have a whole bunch of lawyers who might be interested in appointing arbitrators. Others have told me that that group tends to do personal injury or class action work, et cetera, and therefore it's not likely to yield any international business. The groups that I have found to be most interesting are the IBA, the International Bar Association. Doesn't cost a lot to join. And they have meetings. This year, the meeting, we're talking in September of 2016, is in Washington. And these meetings, however, are often in Mumbai or Morocco or something, so, you know, or Madrid. So they are rather expensive to attend. When they're held domestically or in Canada, for example, it would be a good idea to seize the opportunity. There's 1,000 lawyers or something from all over the world there, so you have to pick your groups carefully. They have many committees at the IBA. Often they come out with these very influential reports, such as the IBA rules on the taking of evidence, or the IBA rules on conflicts of interest, or there are other rules on ethical considerations applicable to lawyers before tribunals. Get yourself on a committee and start becoming active. It's something that there's no substitute for being seen at these meetings, shaking a lot of hands, giving out a lot of business cards, sitting on a committee, maybe helping to write a report, and trying to get active in these organizations. You have the IBA, you've got the ABA International Law Section, also a very big organization, very well thought of and well regarded. their meetings tend to be more manageable because instead of having 1,000 lawyers who are speaking in many languages you don't understand, they tend to be U.S. lawyers who are dealing with international arbitration. Now, many of them will deal with things like should the Security Council get certain powers. You're not interested in that. If you want the business, you will go to the dispute resolution meetings, and you will meet and you will talk and you will attend whatever you have to attend in order to get yourself seen. There's another organization in Asia, the Inter-Pacific Bar Association, the IPBA. But the IPBA, again, tends to have meetings in far-off places, and the expense and time and struggle to get there is sometimes only marginally worth whatever promotional push you're going to get from that. You start writing. You get into a topic of international practice or law that interests you, and you write an article about it. It doesn't have to be a law review article. JAMS business development people will discuss with you where you might place that article. And there are a lot of journals that take smaller articles of 10 pages or 9 pages or whatever, and it's good to have those written as well. Be careful about positions that you take in those articles. It's good to be descriptive rather than advocate a particular rule, because that could inhibit your practice development. If people think that they're reading the tea leaves and that you'd be unsympathetic to one side or another. There are certain international events that are also very important. The one that I go to every year is the This Moot Court competition, which is in Vienna every year. This year it's towards the end of March. It's always the week before Easter. About 230 law schools from all over the world with coaches and teams come streaming into Vienna for that week, and they compete in a moot court arguing a problem on one side or another, which is written by, used to be Eric Bergsten, a professor at Pace. It's now, the baton has been handed to another fellow whose name escapes me. But the problems are interesting. They're always problems based on the CISG, the Convention on the International Sale of Goods. And you will be there. You will be in panels of three. You will, in advance, you can write and ask that you be put on the list of arbitrators. They're always looking for arbitrators. And you'll be assigned arguments. I tend to go on a early because there's a conference I like to attend by somebody else on that Monday, and I do a couple of arguments on Sunday, a couple of arguments on Tuesday, and then I leave. You can do as many as you want. A lot of prestige is associated with it. It is the largest, probably, even with the IBA meeting, the largest international event in the world. It happens every year. It's in a lovely city, and I would recommend it to you. Every night there are promotional cocktail events or other parties which are sponsored by the major law firms, Freshfields, Clifford Chance, Baker McKenzie, some of the local firms in Vienna, you will have an opportunity to network, bring a lot of business cards, and be prepared to show yourself at these events. And it's important to be shown. If you get on one of these committees of the bar associations I was talking about, maybe the IBA or the ABA International section especially, or even if you're a local bar association, the New York City Bar Association has a very active international law committee. It's got a committee I'm on international commercial disputes that has all the big firms there. That's a very good committee to be on, too. And these committees sponsor CLE presentations. Get yourself on the panels of those CLE presentations, as many panels as you can, and that will add to your credentials. I wish there was a shortcut that I could tell you about that would make you bypass all of the evenings you will have to spend with your colleagues speaking, writing, going to these meetings, but I can't think of any. There's no easy path to it. But if you're well-regarded, if you show your face at a number of these meetings, if you have enough good contacts at the major firms so that you're appointed to these cases, it's like anything else. Your first appointment is the hardest. But as you get appointed and people start appreciating the work you do, more and more will happen. So I wish you all luck and good fortune. And if you need more information about this, if you want to talk about something, I'm always available to you. rdavidson@jamsadr.com. And my direct number is 212-607-2752. Thanks a lot. Bye.